give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Welcome to Hopecasts, where our true stories brighten your day by providing insight and encouragement. I invite you to listen as my husband, Dr. Ken Brown, shares one of his amazing personal experiences that will inspire and stir your soul. Even in the challenges of life's darkest moments, you can always find a glimmer of hope through the love of God. So settle in, open your heart, and let's journey together through the power of storytelling.
Full circle. It is not death that creates tragedy, but dying without living a life of meaning and purpose. I never knew my grandfather, as he suddenly died in only 2 weeks at 48 years of age in 1949 after being diagnosed with leukemia. Although he had never been sick a day in his life, he was a brawny athlete and an Olympic contender, welterweight boxer, and he was consumed with sporting activities. He had apparently difficulty relating to his son, who was my father. As his son, my father was an academic scholar rather than an avid sportsman. At the time of his death, my brain-blessed father was completing his first year at the University of Toronto, studying to become a minister. But with the tragedy of his father's sudden death, he dropped out of the ministry. He immediately changed his major to become a historian, and later became a history high school teacher who was also teaching world religion courses. Now, growing up, I never saw my father ever attend church, pray, or read the Bible. I believe that he somehow lost his faith or trust in God when his dad was so abruptly taken from him just before he could graduate and prove the value of his life choices. Well, life is so strange. My father had four sons. The oldest, Alan, was the spitting image of my grandfather. Alan was a natural athlete who thought with his body. He was a rock star, a jock, a boxer, an outstanding athlete, and a runner. And he was even selected for both the NHL hockey and CFL football leagues. I was not so physically gifted, being more like my father, given to reading and study. Everyone at school teased me, saying, "Oh, you can't be Al Brown's brother," as I was definitely in the geek club. Life will often repeat its lessons until the family strongholds, like generational curses, are finally broken. Unfortunately for Alan, he felt alienated from Dad, so remarkably similar to the estrangement that my father felt from his father. In contrast, well, I was more connected to my dad, sharing his erudic interests and passion for learning. I became a Christian in high school in 1970 through the Interschool Christian Fellowship, and some caring teachers and classmates and volunteers who spent hours and hours sharing their faith and discussing existential issues with me. Then, for the very first time in my life, I started to feel the sting of my father's criticism and the harshness of his judgment. He insisted that I had suddenly become a narrow-minded religious bigot when I witnessed to my family about my newfound faith in Christ. My father became entirely resistant to anything that I had to say about God, and this created such a distance between us. For many years, my own dad maintained that my precious belief in Jesus dying to save humanity from hell was illogical and ludicrous, not to mention judgmental and disrespectful and exclusive to all the other world religions. In 1979, my father was diagnosed with leukemia, and he was only 53 years old. And he became sicker and weaker as the years passed. dissolving from this picture of virile strength into a frail old man. Believing that the Lord had told me, this sickness is not unto death, despite his objections, I increasingly started to share my faith with my father, and they even gave him a Bible. Then in Easter of 1984, while taking a bath of all things, my dad had a wondrous experience with Almighty God that completely transformed his life. Despite his pain, he saw a yellow light coming in through the elevated window above the bathroom. And then he began to quote Psalms that he had heard in his youth, scripture that he didn't even know that he remembered. And a deep peace filled his heart, and he felt the living presence of God. He came downstairs to a dining room, a different man. And he actually was glowing with the presence of God. Although I was the designated prayer of the family and was the only person ever to offer grace at meals, that day, my father asked to say the blessing. What a beautiful and profound prayer he offered. And the whole family was shocked. What had just happened? With quiet passion and tears in his eyes, my dad explained about encountering God while in the tub. And over the next year, my dear father's personality core was transformed into a much sweeter and kinder version of his better self. He reconciled with Alan, began to voraciously read his Bible, and talked openly about his trust in God to everyone, despite his great suffering and continuing breakdown of all of his bodily functions due to the cancer. He was such an inspiration to everyone, reminding us that in this finite world, as beautiful as it is, that is not all there is. Love is eternal. God is infinite. And because of the compassion of Jesus, we have a permanent home in the forever beyond this mortal dimension. With wisdom and eloquence, he wrote over 100 spiritual poems of such touching testimony to his Creator and Savior. Part of his ongoing medical treatment was a weekly 2-hour blood transfusion and a special pheresis dialysis, for which he had to drive 40 miles through the traumatic traffic of Toronto's vast and confusing megalopolis and millions of people to that specific hospital that offered such exotic medical technology. For an entire year, he was placed every 2 hours in a narrow hospital bed, side by side with another patient named Joanne, or Joe for short, who was suffering with a very similar serious ailment. Joe was sad, and she was depressed, and she lamented to my father, "It's just not fair. I'm a young woman. I expected to live much longer and do much more. What is the point of my life? I've served God all my life in full-time Christian ministry. Why? Why is he allowing this? He's forgotten about me. It's just not fair." In our numerous intimate discussions and sweet spiritual fellowship, I explained to my father about what the Puritans called the dark night of the soul. Often people facing the decisive moments of their life ask the essential, existential questions about who am I? What is my purpose? And what is the meaning of life? Their all-consuming pain often distorts the answers as they are stretched to live by faith rather than by their feelings or experience. So my dear father encouraged Joe by sharing his poetry and his confidence in Christ. And week by week, Joe's health was declining and her condition was getting much worse. On one such treatment, Joe asked my dad about the son in Christian service that he was always mentioning. When and where did he go to high school? Then she started to cry when my father gave her the answer. And then my father asked her why. Apparently, Joe was the regional leader of that inter-school Christian fellowship group located at my high school, And she personally had spent hours with me before and after I became a Christian, explaining the gospel and encouraging me in my new faith. We had incredibly open and helpful discussions about dating and devotions, pimples and peer pressure, sex and socialization, and anything else that teenagers need to talk about. God had brought Joe into my life to draw me to Christ and disciple me, and then allowed me to witness to my father to inspire him in the Lord. And then, in an amazing God incident, arranged to have my father in the very next hospital bed every week for a year, an hour's drive away from our home and her work, in order to encourage Joe through her tough time of spiritual need. Full cycle. Nothing is wasted. There is a purpose in everything. God is so incredible beyond comprehension or imagination. Joe said, "Now I know God loves me. He has not forgotten me. There was a point to my life." And that was the last time my dad saw Joe. And a couple of weeks later, she died in peace. It was just a couple months after that, and my father himself lay in another hospital bed with all of his family surrounding him, having just authored his last beautiful poem during the final moments of clarity the day before. It was late. Waiting hours were long over, and we had been there for hours. My wife was pregnant and 2 weeks overdue, and we had to get home for her to rest. I gave my father a kiss on his forehead and said to him with such conviction and in faith, "Dad, we need to go. But as the Lord lives and as you live, I will see you again. Good night, Dad." Before I reached the end of the bed, he stopped breathing and died. We were all stunned, as if he was just waiting for us to say goodbye and let him go. I exclaimed, "Praise the Lord, Dad is home and in heaven." We all watched him for a while, and then I closed his eyes. I sure miss him and could hardly wait to see him again in heaven. We have so much to talk about. My father never saw his first grandson, Daniel, but then my firstborn son became another brilliant academic researcher and critical thinker, just like my dad was, only 6 days later. But he will see his grandfather one day. My second son, Joel, the Karate Kid poet and athlete, was born 2 years later, and he is so much like my father's father. Then finally, my unique artistic singing daughter, Alyssa, came into this world 3 years after that. And the circle of life and God's perfect plan continues. God affirms all of this in Romans 8:28. "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those that love him, who have been called according to his purposes." I hope this story encourages you that no matter what you're suffering or going through, to believe that our wise and loving Savior has a divine plan, and he will hold you through it all into eternity. May God bless you. If you've enjoyed this story, then please look us up, Glimmer of Hope, on Spotify or Taken TV or our YouTube channel, Hopecasts. Look forward to seeing you again there.
Thank you for tuning into Hopecasts for inspiring stories that will touch your heart. If today's story encouraged you, then please subscribe to our channel and visit us at hopecasts.org to learn more. You can also watch the video version of this story and many more from Dr. Brown on our Hopecasts, YouTube, or listen on our Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music podcasts. Until next time, keep holding on to hope, and please share these stories with someone who really needs encouragement. May God bless you.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything. anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? 'Cause I know faith holds in what can be seen, but my hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around?